to begin.
Hey, what is up, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast. It's been 3 months, man. 3 long months since I released any content, and well, obviously 3 months since we've all been put in this situation that none of us have ever experienced, and we're honestly really trying to deal with it day by day. So I mean, welcome back if you guys are tuning in. I'm so glad to be behind the mic again, or in front of the mic. It's definitely nerve-wracking, especially when you kind of have to like figure out what you want to talk about with all this shit going on. It's kind of hard to try to keep up with what you want to talk about, but I give props to everybody who's been pushing, who's been working actively in terms of, you know, trying to change the conversation of what is going on. Props to you. You know, my personal thing is I didn't necessarily feel comfortable to talk about these scenarios, situations, these happenings that are going on, because I didn't feel like I was quite educated in terms of what was going on. And the last thing anything in this movement needs is false information or false narratives going around and really trying to smear what those people who are putting hard work and their lives in front of everybody. So this episode here, before you get started, just a quick disclaimer, there's a possibility that some things that were talked about may not make sense or vibe with people. And I get you. I understand that you have your own objections and your own personal experiences that may not allow you to agree with what was said. But at the end of the day, we're all human and we're trying to just create a conversation, trying to create a narrative that is not being talked about. And although it might not meet those preconceived notions of what you think things should be like, doesn't mean that it's necessarily wrong. From my personal experience, and this is just my opinion here, is that a conversation can happen if you're not letting the other person talk. And unfortunately, right now, there's a huge division between one side and the other that it's kind of hard when both sides are screaming out loud. And for anybody who's ever been in the position where you're arguing with somebody, you know the screaming, the loud gestures doesn't lead to anything necessarily good. Now, I'm not trying to demean any movements or anything. That's not what I'm trying to do here. I'm simply just trying to allow you guys to open up your minds and allow information to be in there, whether it makes sense to you or not. But the point is that you're getting another narrative from somewhere else. So that kind of gives you a well-rounded idea of where both sides are coming from. And again, you don't have to agree or disagree. But if you hear something that you personally feel that is valid and that should be at least acknowledged by the person that you're hearing say these things, call me out. I don't mind at all. I'm more than open to shifting my narrative, to shifting my opinions. And I understand I have my own biases and I have my own objections, just like we all do. So I just want to make sure that if there's something that you don't hear, or I mean, I'm sorry, that you don't fully agree with, please send me an email, send me a direct message. Tell me, hey, you fucked up. You said this wrong. I don't agree with you. That's fine by me. I accept it. Just don't be a dick about it. Don't call me an asshole or a little turd or something. But, you know, just tell me, hey, this and this was not necessarily wrong. Here's where you can look into. And I'm more than happy to open up myself and take that information in, because I myself am personally about trying to grow. And I know, I'm aware that I have these limitations in terms of my experiences and my objections, but it doesn't mean that I'm not capable of opening up and trying to see things from a different angle. Because as long as I've been doing this podcast, there's been a lot of people that have, in a sense, challenged the things that I used to think about, where I basically caught my ignorance, but I put my part to try to release myself from that. And at the end of the day, that just feels like a lighter weight off of me and a better understanding of who I am and what I can provide and how I can help those that are in the position that where they're fighting, where they're on the front lines. So I hope you guys enjoy this conversation. I'm going to be doing a solo episode in a few days where I go more in depth about this kind of stuff. So stay tuned. I'm probably going to break it up to 3-4 different parts, depending. It's going to be a solo episode, so it might be a little weird, but For the most part, I hope you enjoyed this conversation. Today, my guest was Cosmosis. She is an MC, poet, spoken word artist, and a co-founder of Greenboro. Check it out. I had a great conversation with her. It was fun. I joined her in her house. Cool environment. Like, it's just nice going back to my roots. For those who don't know, when I started podcasting, I started recording out of my car with some friends, have an iPhone. And that's slowly moved towards buying like a mixer, microphone. And we started traveling from people's houses to houses or locations where they wanted to record. And it honestly was one of the best times for podcasting because there was so much freedom. There was so much uncertainty in what was going on. And every time that we did an episode, it was a new experience. So I'm kind of, you know, happy to see where this is going to go. And yeah, I mean, that's all I can really say. I hope you guys enjoy this conversation. Today's music is going to be brought to you by, I might be trying something different in the coming weeks, but for the most part right now, there's going to be, we're trying to keep the show in the same format that it was before this whole break stuff happened. But for the most part, today's music is brought to you by Silva and Gold with their song Visionary. It's one of the newer songs that got released, I believe, in May. So it's like, if you guys heard her last album and now you're like, man, when is she going to release new music? Well, it's out now. So go check out the song, go support it, go share it, go follow. And then once everything comes back to the new normal, go check her out at some shows. Without much further ado, I hope you guys enjoy.
Okay, the fame they wanted in the worst way, but fake is the mistake they make, cause they assume a wave is greater than how they were made, looking side to side in vain, duplicating everything, nails between their teeth, cause they don't know who they be, it's lame, but I don't play these games, I'm sturdy, a seesaw in my own mind, but I'm on both sides, don't worry, keep a balance, easy but you're swervy, I'm a willow tree, your weeds and worthy, I'll pick you, my style blow your feathers till they stuck in poop, for womanhood you're pitiful, I turn my niece's face away, so they don't do what you do, so keep your tips and comments minimal. Spiritual's my principle, I rebel with my verbal, because physical is minuscule, I'm morphing, mind is pivotal. I make a lane for future individuals, cause this will last longer than tacky visuals, appropriating culture ill. You act, I'll spill, I'm exhausted with the fake ones overshadowing the real. Talking shit is universal, I spit with no rehearsal, I come in peace, but got techniques that'll surely murk you. Talking shit is universal, I spit with no rehearsal, I come in peace, but got techniques that'll surely murk you. A prickly cactus in my forehead, so you can't dismiss it.
What's up, everybody? Thank you guys for tuning back in into the Social Primate Podcast. It's been a few weeks. You can see maybe like almost 3 months since we last released an episode. But we're doing it again. You know, this time we're a mobile edition. And we're here located at today at the guest's house. Thank you for having me, by the way.
Of course.
We have Cosmosis. What's up?
What's up, Eddie? Thanks for having me.
Thank you for having me here. Like, your house is awesome. It looks super chill. And I mean, I think when I first started podcasting, I kind of started going like mobile too.
Okay.
So it's kind of like back to my roots of podcasting. Like, I'm back into like some random person's house. And I don't know. I guess there's just a more comfortable sense of where you're at because you're here and this is your place.
Definitely.
But thank you again for having me at your house. Yeah. I appreciate it.
And that's inspiration to hear that you got started there because this is a studio right here, you know?
Yeah. You know, that's how a lot of things start, you know, your garage or just an extra space that you have around and just use it to your advantage. But I mean, again, thank you. It's awesome. And I'm glad I'm doing this again. And I mean, let's get started.
You know? Let's get started. Thank you for talking to me.
For people who don't know who you are, like, can you give us a little bit of background about what you do? You said MC, poet, and you're a co-founder of Greenboro.
Yeah, yes. Greenboro.
Oh, goddamn it. Greenboro.
So, yeah, I'm a poet, MC, and co-founder of Greenboro. Mm-hmm. So, Greenboro is a new artist community that we created to support the independent artist community and also empower the communities where we come from. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at the best way to have an impact. So we're still researching, you know, whether it's going to be technology or something with the music industry, but we want to find a way to serve the art and also the community.
Okay. Now, you're right. Did that idea come out of what necessarily? Was it just like, you do like a spoken word. I've seen some of your videos on Instagram. Did that kind of develop from those goals that you had, like when you started doing that?
So it all happened very naturally for me. So I've been writing since I was way young. Mm-hmm. And then I mentioned to you that I got started with poetry and spoken word in college.
Yes.
That was 10 years ago. So when I was in there, when I got into spoken word, it was very much just poetry, mm-hmm. you know, and I had been writing for a long time and I had that outlet. And then at that time, everyone was becoming a rapper. Right?
Yeah.
Everyone and your mom's a rapper. Right? That was, yeah. that was that era.
Everybody has, hey, you want to see my mixtape? Yeah.
Exactly. So I was like, hell no, am I going to be another fucking yeah. rapper? So I resisted it for a while. Mm-hmm. But at one point, all my friends were going to all these EDM shows, uh-huh. raves, you know, $100, $200 raves. And I was trying to go to the $5 hip hop shows.
Yeah.
And none of my friends would go with me because they're like, I ran out of money.
Yeah.
Fucking bullshit.
You spent $200.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's when I made that goal to go to every hip hop show that I can by myself. If I have to.
Damn, that's
so
awesome.
Yeah. So, I ended up doing that for a little bit over a year. Mm-hmm. I had to stop because of the money, you know?
Yeah, right.
But as I went to these events, hit up a lot of these open mics, mm-hmm. I was exposed to a lot of different types of talent, including, you know, comedy and, I guess comedy was like the biggest thing, but also music, and other rappers. And then I started hitting the ciphers. So when I first saw the ciphers, I didn't really know what that was all about. I had seen some on YouTube and all that, but eventually I started, you know, making friends at these events. And I started freestyling. So as a spoken word poet, I got into freestyling and, because I had been writing for so long, I was able to write freely in my head. Write a lot of stream of consciousness, which is a great tip for anyone who's trying to get into freestyling.
Yeah, I mean, that's what was a quick question. Like, do you, a lot of these things, do you like sit down and kind of put together, or is it something that you kind of just start flowing with the ideas in your head, trying to do that wordplay? Is that like, do you jot things down for the most part?
I'm always writing notes.
Yeah.
But usually my poems get started like, you know, like something hits me.
Yeah.
If it doesn't happen that way and I have an idea, then I'll sit down, I'll think of an image that really, you know, grasps that idea, or, I'll be more structural and strategic with it, brainstorm the concept and really draft it out. But I feel like my best pieces, my most impactful, like from the heart pieces are the ones that just kind of hit me. And then at that moment, I have to sit and write or spit and record it, because once it's there, it is gone, you know?
Yeah, right. You have to. Yeah exactly. It's like a really fleeting moment, you know? If you don't capture it, then you can try to recreate it, but it's not like it, at its pure essence of what it is, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and so, but I totally get you in that sense. So now, like, when you, like, for example, I think I recently saw that you're going to be releasing an EP sometime, right? So how does that work in terms of, are you, like, trying to release some of the content you're recording, or is that something you're keeping like as a secret for yourself until it's ready to be released to the wild?
Yeah, a little bit. So I am working on my EP that's going to come out either in September or October of this year.
Yeah.
It's going to have 5 songs, a couple poems, and I've recorded all of it except for the last song.
Yeah.
So I am keeping it on the low.
Okay, cool.
And the reason for that is because I'm always all over the place. Mm-hmm. So, you know, someone gave me this suggestion, finish all your songs first and then market, promote, rehearse, practice, do all that other stuff.
Yeah.
Because first do the art and then do the business. So I am on schedule for the EP. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned that current, or I don't think you mentioned that, but I did a different mixtape for the whole coronavirus thing that happened.
Just a mixtape of that kind of work?
So it was, it started out as the idea to make a mixtape with me and my producer, Symmetry, who's also a rapper.
Yeah.
We just created a couple songs, 3 songs about coronavirus and certain issues relating to that, stuff that were on our mind. And we actually recruited a couple of our artist friends to jump on and share their perspective as an artist in this time.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. And it's on SoundCloud. Okay. I'll send you the link.
Oh, it is. Oh, nice. Yeah. That's even better. You know, people have something to check out for right now.
It gets better.
Damn.
So, okay. That's 3 songs with 4 or 5 perspectives, right? Mm-hmm. But as we were making it, we're like, okay, it's not showing everyone's perspective.
Yeah.
So that's when we started recruiting more artists. Yeah, so you okay. can see like Cello Crew on there. I've been reaching out to artists and poets from different events and communities that I've met. Mm-hmm. So we got them on that playlist. So if you want to go to that playlist, you know, you can hit a few poems, a few original songs, a few that were made specifically for the playlist, yeah. and a few that the other artists are trying to promote. So it's a nice little...
Yeah, like a little playlist of a variety. Yeah. That's awesome.
In this time.
Yeah, and this especially now, yeah. you know. I mean, that's what I kind of found awesome about this. I guess, like, there's a silver lining. There's plenty of silver linings if you try to look at them, if you really want to find them in mm-hmm. this whole COVID situation. And I think one of them, like, in terms of the ability for people to continue creating was a big boost. Because, I mean... A lot of us are locked into our house, you know, or we have, like, you're going to get bored, you know? Mm-hmm. Eventually, you're going to be like, what am I going to be doing in this house right now? And usually, creativity stems from being bored. Like, you're just there laying down and something comes up. Whether it doesn't have to be like a drawing or music, but an idea to do something different comes out. Mm-hmm. Normally, a lot of us don't have the time to be bored in our normal lives.
Yeah.
So, it doesn't allow us to kind of, like, start thinking of things that we want to pursue, type of thing, you know? So again, that was the silver lining that I saw. And when I saw people creating content, like releasing videos, Sella Hip Hop was releasing like these little...
Yeah, their talk show.
Video cast. Yeah, little talk show, Sella TV or something. I saw you doing those little quarantine like freestyles. Mm-hmm. And then I saw a bunch of other people just kind of like continue to pursue what was going on. And I was like, damn, like this is like prime time for people who are creators to have, like, I guess, eyeballs, you know, in terms of what they're doing. I mean, I guess not everybody has, like, a great message to say because sometimes people are really negative. But at the same time, like, I don't know. That's where it gets weird. I mean, that's a whole nother rabbit hole. But the fact is that people can create that content and continue creating content for people who are willing to consume it right now, you know?
Mm, yeah, but we are willing. Well, yeah, we're always willing to consume, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, true that.
But, yeah, I mean, for the most part, again, like, your type of content, like, the spoken word part, like, at what point did you get turned into that?
Actually, it was class, mm-hmm. right? So, I was in this poetry class, and we have workshops where we share our work.
Yeah.
And I remember, even when we were doing the workshop, you know, all writers get nervous, right? That's when yeah. you get critiqued. So as I was doing these, like, I always love sharing because I like critique. Mm. You know, I call people out. I expect them to call me out too.
Yeah.
You know, that's how we get better.
It's know? True. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was doing critique and I did a poem and I mean, you've heard some of the content that I have in my mm-hmm. poetry. So, you know, it was, you know, mixed reviews, right?
Yeah.
But someone had mentioned, hey, you sound like you're doing, slam poetry, mm-hmm. you know? So that's when I went to the open mic on campus and then just read it. So it really went from the class to the stage very quickly.
Yeah.
And then after I hit that first stage, I just went back the next month mm-hmm. and it didn't come easy. Like I have stage fright, you know, I have, I get anxious, you yeah. know?
Damn, I can only imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I still swallow my spit. Like, I choke on my spit sometimes yeah. if I get nervous, you know. But just, I don't know, just kind of having it happen so easily. Like, it really just came so fluidly. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I never really stopped myself, you know, because I always came back to writing. So, you know, as it transitioned into spoken word mm-hmm. and then freestyling and then rap, and now I'm kind of exploring, you know, this organization of Greenboro yeah. and I'm trying to learn Audacity and producing music. You know, I'm growing as an artist and just that fluidity has really, you know, that's how you grow as an artist. Allow yourself yeah. to be fluid.
Yeah, right. Because, you stay in that same box. And because, I mean, I guess people can say like, oh, I prefer this artist album because it's like this specific style. Mm-hmm. But then the next album is like some whole new thing and it's like, damn, these guys suck now. But in reality, it's like, no, like, you know, they're experimenting with their different sounds, you know, they're growing, they're allowing the music to teach them, you know, new things, you know? And that's what it should be because we can't always stay in that constant state of things, you know? There's that flow is necessary.
Yeah. And when you go to these shows or open mics, whether you engage or not, you're exposed to mm-hmm. other people experimenting, and that's what makes that's what makes me grow as an artist too, just to yeah. see that.
And now when you go to these places, like, well, for the most part, the stuff that you talk about, how have they affected you? I mean, I think one of the questions I wanted to ask you here was like how does the culture that we are currently in, or just in you know, in general, even when we're outside of this, how does it like influence the work that you put out?
You mean outside of this, like outside of coronavirus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, for I guess for the sake of this question, like now, like how has that affected the way you see things? Because I mean, we started with the coronavirus, and moving into the last 2 weeks, you know, there's been an explosion of protests and mm-hmm. all this and social injustice. I would think that for a lot of us, you know, we're all trying to talk about that narrative in a sense, because we all have our different ways of expressing it. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, like, how's that affected, or anything that happens usually, does that affect the way that you write things?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would say it all affects me.
Yeah.
And it's challenging because a lot of my work is based on social issues. Mm-hmm. You know, it's social criticism of current events a lot of times.
Yeah.
And it's tough because, you know, I know one piece that I was working on that was about, you know, violence against women.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I've struggled with personally. So when you go into topics like that, it's tough because, first of all, I got to get into that mind state to right. really be genuine about what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also got to keep my mind right and not, you know, get deep into anger or rage
yeah.
or whatever, because that's just not going to be productive. So it's a challenge. But that's where my heart is. Like you yeah. said, there's a silver lining. And anytime that there's an event like that, you know, you also mentioned you see these artists coming out and speaking yeah. on what they see, and everyone's experience is different, and that's powerful. You
yeah,
know, that's
right.
what that's what inspires me, and that's so it's tough, but it's so rewarding because to be a part of that counteraction, you know,
right?
To
yeah,
be part of
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Going back to the whole Corona stuff, I think the last one I heard, I think it was on IG Live, I think like a few weeks ago or something. Mm-hmm. Like, just hearing you talk about in that specific way how, like, I guess, like, there's this paranoia in everybody about what's really going on. It's kind of, like, I don't know. It's just really hard. It's just a weird time, so it's really hard to kind of, like, talk about it, I guess. But I honestly lost my train of thought right now.
Okay.
I mean, how has that, like, in terms of affected you and in the way you see your environment, I guess? I don't know.
It's fucked me up. Yeah, I mean, it's messed me up in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you mentioned, you know, some people are calling it fake yeah. and, you know, there's also real consequences. Mm-hmm. So we know a couple of things for sure. We know facts.
Yeah.
So one fact is that we see the people who are affected, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's us feeling alienated by having to stay indoors or someone, you know, who's passed.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, see. I just lost my train of thought, too.
Yeah, it was that plane. Damn.
Yeah, there's a lot of planes right here. Is that what happened to you, too?
Yeah, I was like, I was just hearing some outside noise, and I was like, no, I gotta focus. And point is, I forgot.
Okay, all right. But, so you were asking me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess just the overall question would be like, you mentioned that it fucked you up. It yeah. definitely fucked like everybody, man.
Yeah, so, as far as that conflict, so, yeah, we know that, you know, the government has lied to us.
A lot of times.
A lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no reason for them to not be lying about it. Now, it would be against a lot of logic to yeah. believe that they are not lying
course.
To
yeah.
us.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. I definitely mm-hmm. see it because, I mean, anybody who's really tried to look into history will understand that the government is not your friend, and they're obviously going to try to incentivize you by like, hey, come here, you know.
Yeah.
Let's give you a stimulus package type of
exactly.
thing, you know. And that's enough for a lot of people to be like, cool, you know.
Yeah.
$1,200, fine, let's take it.
Yeah. And what you mentioned that, you know, like, even though they are lying to us, like, we have these other consequences. So mm-hmm. you mentioned that we got to do what we got to do. And mm-hmm. that looks different for everyone. So when I was living with my parents, like, mm-hmm. I had to make the decision to not go to work for a while because yeah. I didn't want to put my parents at risk. With these protests happening, some people have to decide between keeping their parents or family safe versus going out to protest for their rights or for the rights of their friends and family. So we kind of find ourselves in a place between like being there for society and being there for ourselves. And I think right now there's a lot of shaming going on too.
Oh, a lot. Yeah, yeah, definitely a lot.
And I wouldn't say that's called for because we don't know other people's situations, you know, and I mean, every experience is valid, you know, and I thought of this, I thought of this earlier today and I wasn't really sure how I felt about me thinking this, but I'm gonna just say it.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
So, you know, right now, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, right? That's obvious. There's like, imagine the cop, right? Imagine the cop who is going to work and, you know, has a job to do and then does the job, gets told to, you know, find more.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we know that's the requirement. We know the system is fucked. But just imagine being that cog in the system, going out to do a good job. You have a family trying to take care of, right?
Yeah.
And then imagine like you're going out first day, second day, whatever. And then you see these people just like, you know, flicking you off. Okay. And let's say that happens like every day, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, no one is going to be normal after that. No one is going to be kind. No one is going to be understanding. No one is going to be thinking straight. They're going to have mental illness.
Yeah.
You know, like many people.
We do. Right. You see it. Yeah, you see it at a constant day. You're like, okay, like, yeah, it's just, you see somebody flip you off one day, you're already pissed, you know?
Yeah.
You see it every day, you're going to grow some sort of resentment.
Yeah.
You know?
And like, let's like lower all that to like something that we're not going to get all contentious about. Like, let's say like I'm going to work, you know, I'm a safety manager at a aerospace company. I go to work and, you know, I have this policy that people got to be here by this time. And if they're 1 minute late, then they're going to get one warning. Second warning, they get fired. Right. I may not agree with that, but I'm going to follow that because that's my job.
Yeah.
I don't go beyond thinking about it because I'm not concerned too much, first of all, because I expect them to be at work. Right. I believe that that's my principle. But if that were a life and death situation, it'll be a little bit trickier because you have that thought, hey, I'm conflicted. I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm told to.
Right, yeah.
But you also have an additional conflict, which is the public telling them, telling you that you're a monster, all this, blah, blah, blah. And then you probably start to believe it. And what happens when you keep being told your shit? Ask any child who's grown up in an abusive relationship. You become a shitty person.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that's something that we got to remember in this tough time. And like right now, I'm trying to step back from sharing my poetry because right now I don't want to be, I'm talking a lot right now and I don't want to be talking all this when I think Black voices should be heard, you know? And I also think right now there is a lot of emotion out here and there is also a lot of walls and barriers and that's preventing us from moving forward.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about like, I'm not defending the police.
No, no, I get you.
I say defund the police. The system needs to change. The criminal system needs to change. Health system, housing system. We need to renew all that
stuff. Yeah, it needs a, like a revamp, like an overload. Like,
exactly.
Like huge.
What I'm saying is that we have to kind of see each other as people and just have conversations and really just try to listen because right now we're so stuck on saying you got to do this and you got to do this. You know, we have to kind of step back and hear the other person. And for real, the only reason that I think I can say this right now is because I was trained as a mediator. Before I was trained as a facilitated mediator, oh my God, I was like talking to people, trying to like make sure they understood what I was saying, that I want to be understood, and trying to make sure that I was clear in my expectations. But that's not how you connect with someone.
Right. No, that's just, exactly. Because that other person is trying to do the same. And then you're just clashing.
Yeah. And you want to hear the other person, you know? And I bring that up not to say that like, shit, I'm a mediator too, you know? Yeah. But to say that like I've been studying human rights and civil rights. I've been volunteering. I've been studying and doing all kinds of, you know, good, I think, good for the world, right? Being a good, sound citizen, right? Yeah, not racist, sexist, classist, trying to be all that.
Yes.
And then I got, you know, become trained in mediation and then realize I'm not listening for shit. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think we
I don't mean to interrupt mm-hmm. you, but you like, we don't like to see ourselves as being biased. Like mm-hmm. we think like our point of view, kind of like you have it and the other person next door has it, but we're not really paying attention to the fact that we're completely different. Yeah. And like one of the points that you brought up was like I want to make it clear for people who listen to this is that, like you said, you're not necessarily seeing that the cops are all good and stuff, that you support the cops. But the thing is, like, you really have to step back, which is why I kind of didn't record, because I didn't want to just jump on a bandwagon, like, start talking about it when I didn't really fully understand it. But at the same time, a lot of people are, and they have every right to do so, to act on the emotion. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, when you act on pure emotion, you kind of blind yourself in the sense of what's really going on, and trying to educate yourself to the point where you're not like bullying somebody because they're not doing enough. Mm-hmm. You know, and the whole cop thing is like, I have a relative that's in the LAPD, and you know, I don't want to go too deep into that, but unfortunately, I was there around him when he started like the whole academy training stuff. And he went in there with the intentions of good, you know, and you slowly kind of start seeing, based on the whole process, is like, he, you know, first he's in the academy, he's doing some training, like some write-ins with other cops, and then he gets put into like the jail system for a year to as a guard. Mm-hmm. So that whole year, you're just set up to see the evil in people, like the bad, you know, the worst of the worst. And you're there day after day, day after day, just putting up with these like people who either need mental like counseling or some sort of help, and at the same time people who are legit just murderers, and you see the bad in society, so that would only psychologically just break you down as you go. Mm-hmm. You know, and then after that you get put in some of the most violent areas in the like LA area, and it's like, that doesn't help. It just grows some sort of PTSD in terms of what a person can be, and then it's just the power just goes to your head, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a bunch of good cops out there, like there's no denying them. But the very fact that they're not able to be self or hold themselves accountable, or like, if you're my partner, I'm like, hey, dude, you're choking that guy. Like, take off your knee. Like, at least take off your fucking knee. It's like, at what point, you know, that just makes you an accomplice. You know, you're not really being there for what you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And it's very unfortunate. I see him now, and it's like, he's obviously for like the whole Blue Lives Matter type of thing. And again, it's not saying that nobody else's lives matter, but at the current moment, it's those black lives that need that voice right now, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just hard because, you know, I love the guy, you know, he's really close to me and stuff, but it's kind of hard to see like the fact that he has this whole perspective of how things should be, like that people shouldn't be protesting, that they shouldn't defund the cops, because, you know, what are they going to do when somebody calls the cops? They're not going to go around and help people out. But it's like, dude, you're like, you're set up to do a job. Like, that's, like, you're, like you said, a safety manager. You're there to do certain things, or you're there to do graphic design or whatever it is. Your job as a cop is to protect and serve, you know? But I don't know. It's a whole different tangent there, but the whole idea is just, it's just weird to see, because you know, you don't want to be on one side and then people think you're on the wrong, or that you're supporting something when they shouldn't be supporting that. But as you said, it's about trying to, in reality, it's about trying to kind of mediate or balance out your views, you know, and be more understanding that there is a more human aspect to that other person without necessarily minimizing the experience that everybody else is having.
Definitely. And I'm glad you shared that, that you have family who's in police, because that's not something we think about. You know, there's systems that are fucked up. We all know it, and that needs to change. But there's people in mm-hmm. these systems. You know, these people are real.
Yeah.
You know? And it's crazy sometimes, like, even just, like, at the protests, walking by these police, like, I just kind of look at them with the saddest eyes I can give them, because, like, I'm not mad. Because... Mm-hmm. When I felt myself getting mad, I'm mad at them for nothing. They weren't there. I don't know anything about them. And I'm just, you know, giving myself health issues, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just...
It's hilarious, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what we're all doing, you know? And I was doing some research after the protest started, because I was sick of writing poems about the same shit over and over again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they say if you're sick of talking about it, imagine the people who are dealing with it, right? So, like, that's that. But I was researching how protests can turn into successful movements. Mm-hmm. And one thing that caught my attention was that you're not trying to win over the other side. You're trying to win over the people in the middle. Right. Okay. And that's powerful because we're really divisive right now.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's, you know, Democrat or Republican or this or that or whatever, like there's a dynamic for everything, you know, extreme dynamics.
Extreme dynamics. Yeah. That's what if there's an extremities in both sides right now.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's preventing the conversation, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what we need if we're really going to talk about, you know, the trauma that African Americans have in this country, because I can't even imagine that, you know. I mean, I have trauma as a minority woman, and I know that people who are not a minority can't understand that, and we have to give that respect to Black people in America as well.
Yeah.
So it's tricky. It's tricky. And at the same time, like, I'm telling you this, but I am not going to tell this to, you know, an African-American person.
Yeah.
Because they're allowed to be mad, you know?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You know, there's definitely all right to do so. And I mean, that's where it kind of gets weird, too, because, you know, when the protest initially started, you know, people started changing the conversation, particularly the media, which is another huge thing, because they started facing the cameras more into the looting aspect. Like, the whole conversation got lost into what was causing those protests. Like, but at the same time, there was like undercover cops going in there and like busting shit open, like as they've done for years, for decades. Either FBI, CIA, local police departments, they'll infiltrate those movements to have a reason to kind of go in there and go with full more for like military power, military, you know. That's their excuse. That's their way to go get in there and like shut shit down. So it's like you kind of see it, and it's angering to see the fact that they're focusing on that rather than why these people are at this point. You know, why we're all at this point. You know, because in reality, it's all of us. You know, I mean, cops, sure, they're dicks to everybody, and they're obviously a lot huger, like, assholes to people who are of color. And I've had my experiences where I wasn't doing anything. They came to my house, knocked on the door because they assume this is probably too personal, but you know, this is what it's about, being honest, you know, because people relate to it. But there was this one time where at the current time with my current girlfriend at the time, we were arguing, you know, voices were like, you know, a little loud, you know, but I feel like that's everybody. Maybe I'm just defending those actions, but I'm sure everybody has argued with their partner. But point is, I guess the neighbor called the cops or something, because at the time I was living in an apartment, and I guess the walls were thin or something. Point is, she called the cops, the police showed up, I was ready to watch Netflix, and they knock on the door, and I was like, what the hell? Like, I wasn't expecting the police for some reason. And I was like, hey, what's up? And they're like, hey, we're showing up because people said that there was people arguing or something. And I was like, well, I mean, we were kind of arguing, but everything's fine. And they're like, you mind if I come in? And I was like, what? Like, nah, like, everything's good. And he goes, sir, can you step outside? And I was like, for what? And like, can you please step outside? And like, mind you, I was like, I just in my shirt, socks, and some boxers. And I was like, I don't even have pants on. And they like basically like took me out of the house. I closed the door, and then they're like, turn around, sir. And I was like, why are you, like, they started detaining me. And I was like, what the hell? Like, what did I do? And like, you're coming with us. And I was like, what the fuck? And it was just, like, no reason. They just came in. They basically took me. And what happened at the time was that I guess they went into the house after I was in the cop car with a gun, holding a gun. And she was in the bathroom, came out, and the first thing she sees is somebody pointing a gun at her. It's like, dude, like, what kind of fucking abuse of power is that?
That's incredible.
And then they let me go. They're like, oh, we just wanted to make sure everything was okay. It's like, there's other ways, man. Like, you didn't have to go through that whole... I felt humiliated. All the neighbors are going out through the window like, hey, what's going on? And it's like, dude, like, there's... I don't know. That's where my anger comes in terms of that. But again, that compares to... That doesn't compare anything close to what, you know, our African brothers and sisters are dealing with on an everyday basis, just from everybody around them at some points. And it's... I don't know. It's very discouraging, and you can see why everybody's angry, you know? And they need that change.
Yeah, it's definitely discouraging, and it sucks to hear about that experience that you had. I mean, it's incredible. Like, you just expect people to be decent and honest and kind. Like, all right, fine, don't be honest or kind, just be decent. But nah, they won't even do that. Not the people put in that position to do that.
Yeah, well, I think it's interesting because there's this experiment. I might, like, fuck it up here, but... It was the Stanford experiment. I think it was in like the late 80s or something. But the whole idea was that they took a group of college students and they put them like in this abandoned jail in San Francisco. And they separated, I think it was like 20 kids or something. 10 of them, they made them security guards. 10 of them got prisoner roles. And they were supposed to stay there for, I think, a week. And the whole idea of this experiment was to kind of see what the power structure was see what their psychological changes would be. So 20 regular people, you're a guard, I'm a prisoner. Mm-hmm. And then as time progressed, people were allowed to treat them like prisoners. So that power started getting to them. And then as each day progressed, they started doing the worst things. They started more humiliating and more like demeaning them and all this stuff. And it was just the whole idea that when put in that position, that power structure evolves and it goes into something else that doesn't necessarily, what am I trying to say here? Summarize the person that you were before you started that. Mm. So I think, again, there's a lot of psychological stuff going on. And people are saying, you know, psychological warfare. And, you know, that's definitely true in certain aspects, you know?
Oh, yeah. I definitely believe that.
Yeah, but, yeah, it's a crazy time.
It's crazy. But, I mean, like, right now is the time, you know? I mean, the protest for Black Lives Matter started recently. It should have started years ago.
Yeah.
You know, Ash should have a lot of other protests, you know? Like, we have ICE still, you know, even during coronavirus, like, raiding houses, not wearing masks, requesting masks from hospitals.
Exactly.
Like, come on now. You know, and then we have this, like, idiot, like sociopath, like, just running the nation. And it's just, it's really a time to step up because it's not just one thing. It's all of us, you know? And yeah, you can say white people are, you know, they're not part of the people who are suffering, but that's not true either. Like how I imagine that how they may be feeling now is how minorities or immigrants may feel when we first get to America.
Yeah.
You know, like I remember being six, having moved to California with my immigrant parents and my brother and, you know, some racist white boys like acting shitty towards my parents. Yeah. You know, I remember that. But white people have never experienced that. So like, and I'm just saying this because I've been watching the Karen videos.
Oh yeah.
And it's crazy because you can see the mental illness in them. You can see that they are not in the right state of mind. They're obviously panicking, if not having a panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people just don't know how to stop and think about shit.
It might, I'm not sure, I'm not a psychologist here, but the whole, like, acting on the emotion part. You know, if somebody who already believes this, like, there was this video recently, I think in Torrance, I think they, I think she ends up, like, her last name was, like, Hispanic, too, and it's like, come on, like, there's this expression that, you know, Hispanic people say, like, tienen nopal en la cara, which means he has a cactus on his face.
Mm. Oh.
But the fact is that you pretend that you're not Hispanic. And, you know, like, you can see you're Hispanic. You can see your race, you know? Mm. But the fact that you know your race and you still decide to be racist towards somebody, it's like, dude, you're in the same position I am, you know? Like,
that's fucked up.
So, yeah, exactly. And when I saw that she was, like, part Hispanic or something, I was like, come on. It's just, it's ridiculous, you know? And but again, it's like the whole thing is like you already have this mentality ingrained that's being fed by whatever you're reading. Because as if people who don't know, it's like social media in itself puts you in a little bubble.
Oh, yeah.
So the moment you keep consuming the same thing of the same thing, mm-hmm. That's what you're going to see. So these people you're seeing like conservative or like these extreme alt-right mm-hmm. Thoughts, that's all you're going to see every day. And it's going to change your mentality.
Exactly. We're programmed.
Yeah, exactly. And then after that, your emotion, like, you see somebody, you're like, oh, I don't like this person. I'm going to start talking shit to them. You're just acting on this whole adrenaline that you're just saying stupid. It's like, you know, when you get angry and they say, like, don't argue when you're angry. Or because you just see, like, these things that you don't necessarily mean.
Mm-hmm.
You're just acting on that whole impulse.
Exactly.
But, again, who knows? Maybe these people definitely are for sure racist. I'm not trying to protect them. But the fact is that, again, there's these whole different pieces that are going on, you know, to create this person's reality. And it's weird.
It's so weird. And like what you mentioned about psychology, like we're all messed up, you know? Growing up in a racist, sexist, classist society is going to make us all that. And right now, a lot of us, even minorities, are trying to come out of it, I feel. Mm-hmm. You know, like with Me Too, that got a lot of dudes looking at themselves in the mirror.
Yeah.
And now it's got a lot of non-black people looking in the mirror, you know, myself included.
Yeah.
And that's good. You know, we have to take this opportunity to be open-minded mm-hmm. and reflective on our own shit before, you know, just looking out and especially telling the victims that they got to do some more shit.
Yeah.
Nah, that's victim blaming. Like everything that's going on is based off the same hate, you know, white supremacy, you know, rich eat poor. Like it's just all fucked up. Everything's mm-hmm. a business and people need to come together. And that's what's happening right now through the art, which I feel, but also in the activist sphere. Like I'm really impressed with the organizers recently because, mm-hmm. You know, I haven't been working or I haven't organized my own movement or anything like that with a nonprofit.
Yeah.
I've educated myself and been involved with a lot of different organizations doing their movements. And the way that this is being approached right now, you can tell they've been working on this for so long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is so
thought out. Like it's, that's what at first it felt like they weren't organized. I mean, obviously, because everybody's just like, there are all these subgroups mm-hmm. and stuff, you know? But mm-hmm. once everybody came together, the organizations kind of like worked like seamlessly. Yeah. And there was there was action everywhere, like online. Mm-hmm. And there was this post that I saw that everybody was sharing that says like, you may not be like at the protests, but mm-hmm. you're doing this. But it says, I kind of quoted it here. It says, revolution has many layers. And shorten it, just keep your foot on the gas.
Yes.
So it's like, the reason that kind of like resonated a lot with me was because there's a lot of other people, because I do the podcast, there's a lot of people that I follow that are organized or that are involved in different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, I honestly felt kind of, I guess, not hypocritical, but I didn't feel like I was using the platform to kind of push, you know, provide more content that was related to what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
One of those reasons was because, again, I didn't want to... There's a bunch of people that I came across that were sharing information that when you really Googled it, they were coming from sources that were funded by, like, specific outlets that were pushing an agenda. So it's like, at what point do you really hold yourself accountable to share things when you don't really know what's you're sharing?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of took a step back and I was like, okay, I want to really analyze the stuff before voicing my opinion. Especially because I have a platform like the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you had the chance to listen to a video. There was like a little comedy special by Dave Chappelle. It recently came out like this week.
I think I heard the drama about it, but he was like getting on another comedian or something, right?
Yeah, no, on some like reporter. I don't know her. I think her name is like Candace Owens or something. I'm not really sure who she is. I haven't heard her stuff. But one of his points was that people were like, oh, how come you don't hear from these people that you follow, like these influencers and stuff? And his whole point was like, I think I recognize it.
So was he the one that's saying, why should I speak on it when there are organizers doing this work every day who can speak on it better?
That's exactly quoting that. Well, that's basically what he was saying.
Okay.
And the fact was like, I had a lot of other people who were not necessarily putting a whole post like, I support Black Lives Matter, but they were kind of being shamed because they weren't doing it. But the fact was that the people involved, they were on their own separate independent accounts. They were all involved doing their own thing. So to me, that was like, why are you trying to shame people or lessen what they're doing when you don't really know what they're doing and, you know, make it seem like they're just fucking up, you know, like especially when it's somebody like that can relate to as like a minority. And like the whole thing was like, at what point, because you think you're doing right, can you go ahead and start putting somebody down and in a sense like make it about your self-righteousness rather than the actual movement? Like, oh, I'm feel better about myself because I'm doing it, but you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, your ego kind of gets in the way, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a weird thing. Like another random story here. I went to some taco spot the other day and there was this guy outside asking for some money. And I was like, I don't have any cash right now, man. And point is, I went, bought a taco, came back and I had $2 extra. And the whole idea that came to me that related to this question was I took out the $2 and I was like, I have $2. I'm going to give it to this guy. My initial thought was I'm going to give it to him because I want to help him out. But then there was like this side voice in the back of my head that was like, but you're doing it just so you can get good karma. Mm-hmm. And I was like, like, what were my true motives then? Mm-hmm. I still gave him the money and I walked away, but I kept thinking like, nah, like I did it because it was out of my heart. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't because I was trying to get like social brownie points or anything, you know? Yeah. So it's like, okay, like there's like this whole thing. And I think if you're not aware of it, it could get the better of you, you know? And
I totally agree.
Yeah.
And, you know, at this point, I feel like if you do anything good off of social media, you're good. You know, like, just don't take a fucking picture of it and, like, you're probably in the good place.
Oh, God. There was a selfie of this, a girl holding a fucking a drill in Santa Monica for a picture. And then she just gave the drill to the Mexican guy and walked away. And it's like, dude.
Oh, no.
Instagram. But, I mean, there's people out there like that, you know?
Yeah. And, I mean, like, hey, like, I guess they are doing something at the end of the day, but when you posed that question to me, mm-hmm. The first thing that came to me was, who is it benefiting?
Yeah.
You know, who is it benefiting the most? So for the story that you shared, you know, I would say both of you are benefiting, right?
Yeah.
And it's funny that you talk about shaming because, like, I feel like I shamed a shamer.
Mm-hmm. You shamed the shamer?
You know? Okay. Yeah, yeah. And this was, like, in a week, last week, where I was like, I'm going to just, like, stay, like, I'm not going to engage in this because, you know, I'm just trying to, like, educate myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw this post, and it really pissed me off because a hip-hop artist, and I won't say who, but underground hip-hop artist posted a video of a Caucasian celebrity,
mm-hmm.
and he was saying, he was shaming the hip-hop community for not speaking on this.
Yeah. And the Caucasian.
The Caucasian uh-huh. celebrity said that. And that fucking pissed me off because mm-hmm. I have been underground hip-hop till, like, yeah. forever, you know? And they've been talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right.
You know, we, like, we all, everyone, like, who loves hip-hop, like, for real, mm-hmm. like, we know that's what hip-hop is all about.
Exactly, yeah. It's not like, I mean, the other music, the mainstream music is cool and stuff, but mm-hmm. the whole context of what they're talking about is a whole different. I mean, there's artists for sure, like Kendrick, using that platform to kind of, like, talk about issues, and obviously yeah. there's a lot more,
mm-hmm.
but I get what you're saying. You know, if you know the hip-hop, you know it's talking about that experience.
Exactly, yeah. And, like, that is the root and basis of hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one thing, right? That's that celebrity saying that. But then to have this underground hip-hop artist reshare it,
you know, I see what it
is. Yeah, reshare yeah. this ignorance instead of reposting, you know, this underground artist's mm-hmm. new song, like Versoul. She's yeah. a hip-hop artist up from NorCal.
Yeah, I've heard of her.
Yeah, yeah. She's good. Her, yeah. And just a couple of weeks ago, she released like just a quick song about George Floyd
mm-hmm.
and, you know, just the racism and all that bullshit, very current stuff. And so I linked her and also 3D Naughty, who had a song a few years back
yeah.
When this was, you know, when the Black deaths were becoming more, you know, more visible.
Yeah.
And it just pissed me off because, like, who the hell are you? Like, you know, like, okay, so not everyone in mainstream is talking about it,
mm-hmm.
but you're, like, a middle-aged old man. Like, you know American history.
Yeah.
First of all. And if you even listen to the hip-hop community, which it sounds like you do because you're talking in that way, unless you're just, you know,
yeah, just
taking, like, the culture.
Exactly,
you
yeah.
know? And it's so that's when I was like, you know, nah. So
that's when you have to call. That's what you necessarily do have to call people mm-hmm. out occasionally, especially when they're. That's what I told the whole thing. Like, somebody posted something about, like, the protests. They're, like, funded by, like, this guy named Soros and, like, all this stuff. And it's like, I looked into the sources and I was like, dude, this guy, this Soros is funded by the Koch brothers, mm-hmm. and it's like, or the Koch brothers or something like that. And I was like, they have an agenda, you know, they're billionaires, dude. You know, they're controlling the narrative that you think they're controlling you mm-hmm. or controlling the masses. And it's like, why are you spreading this type of information out?
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to call those people out in those terms, because at the end of the day, you hope that they question why they did what they did. And, like, they're going to remember the fact that you reached out to them to tell them something, you mm-hmm. know? Again, it's different if you're, like, screaming in their face, like, hey, fuck you. But
yeah. And, like, about that, like, yeah. I had to edit my response because I knew, like, yeah. you know, like, if I say it this way, like, it's just gonna be a fuck you, and mm-hmm. that's how I felt, but yeah. that's not what I wanted to convey, because I want underground artists to be recognized. Mm-hmm. You know, I want the basis of hip hop, which everyone loves but can't fucking defend for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, I want that shit to be very clear. So, I mean, we have to be patient. And when I say that, I have to be patient because I am an outsider as far as the Black Lives Matter debate.
Yeah.
And I can be patient. You know, if I had lost someone to police violence, no one's going to fucking tell me to be patient. Yeah, you know, like, right. That's for damn sure. And we, as, you know, non-Black people, I think that's something we have to seriously understand. You know, like, I feel like I'm here as an artist to shut the fuck up when I need to be, which mm-hmm. I feel like is, you know, earlier when this is happening. I feel like right now in this kind of closed setting, it's a good place to talk where I'm not just throwing my thoughts and you know, try to consume someone. I just think there needs to be dialogue, and people are just saying too much right now without really saying what they mean.
Yeah, no, it's true. And that's why, like, I don't want people to come out of, like, this conversation or any conversation that, you know, at least from my podcast comes out. It's not like, I like, in a sense, kind of challenging what they're trying to push. Not push, but talk about. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, you know, we're all just really humans.
Yes.
You know, and like, whether you believe it or not, it is an experience that we're all only getting once, and that we're all trying to figure out day by day, you know. And obviously a lot of us have it harder than others, mm-hmm. but we're still in the same fucking rock. And, you know, if the moment that we start seeing these divisions between us, and it's okay to see that you're different or that I'm different and that our neighbor's different, because that's what makes it that person. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like those people are like, I don't see race. It's like, then you're not really trying to see what comes attached with that whole thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, you kind of want to challenge those thoughts to, like, okay, like, are these thoughts that you're talking about really come from a place of, like, pure, like, I guess, love? Or is it just because you feel like you need to talk about this because you're going to get this attention, mm-hmm. you know? And yeah. That's where it gets weird, because we all want the attention. And, you know, it's, I guess for a lot of people, even for me, it's a little weird, not weird, but it could be difficult to act on something out of pure love, mm-hmm. you know? Because again, even with the podcast, like, I'm thinking, oh, subconsciously, it's not like my main thing, but you have that voice in the back of your head. You're like, well, how many views are you going to get? Mm-hmm. How many listens are you going to get?
Yeah, because this is an organization. It's a business. You have goals. Yeah,
exactly. You know, but, you know, that's ultimately, you don't want it just to be about that. You want to put your heart and your honesty into it.
Because you're a whole person and you're acting like
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And that's where people get offended sometimes, that the fact that if I say something wrong or something that doesn't sound right, like, and hold me accountable to it, it's like, it's just me maybe being ignorant, maybe being biased. But the very fact that somebody can call me out on it, it makes me want to question why I think that way and try to change the way I believe things, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think ultimately that's what you want. You don't want to force somebody into what you believe, but more like, okay, let me hear your point. I'll hear your point. You hear mine. Let's see if maybe we can meet in the middle. Mm-hmm. If we can't, then, you know, try to find a, you know, mediator.
Yeah. Well, shit.
You know, and it's I think, you know, we're not there yet. I think before we make any huge change, I think we have to see a self, like a conscious change. Kind of like, this may not be the correct example, but like in the, what was it, Enlightenment age or something? It's like people started moving away from the thought of just pure religion into the thought of self-independent thought. Mm. So there was like this change in the culture that kind of advanced things more like culturally and art and, you know, all this stuff. And I think we're past doing one of those.
Oh yeah.
You know, so I think once that that change comes out in a conscious level, then we're going to start seeing that whole reform that we're really looking to. And I think we might be there. I mean, it feels like it's a breaking point right now but who knows? The next 4 years, they're still up in the air.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, I agree. Like, it's, I do feel the breaking point, you know, and just the fact that, like, we're able to have this conversation about the stuff that we're talking about and all the other conversations going on right now.
Yeah.
Like, that's powerful.
It could be a sick, like, mind fuck. Like,
oh yeah.
I think about it, like, who's also doing something, you know? But
yeah. And then when you think about, like, how people are being more supportive and actually making more of an effort to look at themselves and to be better, that's huge. Even if
that
it's
huge, yeah,
even if it's minimal, it's someone looking at themselves saying, I might be wrong. Yeah. That's fucking huge.
And I think, I mean, I don't know if you've had any experiences with psychedelics on their own, but
yeah.
I have, definitely. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing is, like, a lot of that fear comes from the fact that you don't want to face your own fears. You don't want to mm-hmm. face your own image. Yeah. And it's not until you face that that you realize, like, oh shit, I'm an asshole. You
know, maybe we just find the solution.
Yeah, let me be better. You know, yes. Like, you start seeing things happen, and you come to that realization, like, I have to change who I am first if I want my environment to change. Mm-hmm. And again, a lot of us are there, a lot of us are working at it, and a lot of us are kind of stuck in our ways. But I'm sure everybody gets there on their own path, you know?
Yeah, and the fact that we are all on different paths is a reason for us to be forgiving.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, exactly. Be a little bit more forgiving in terms of what's going on.
Because, fuck, if people weren't forgiving to me mm-hmm. in my path to where I am now, you know, I wouldn't be where I'm at. And I'm like, right now I'm just talking about, you know, people I knew, even strangers, teachers, people I just met. They told me straight up, like, they gave me feedback, mm-hmm. you know, whether it was about my poetry or my presentation or my performance. And that honest feedback is what we need to just really look at ourselves. It's easier when you can look at yourself about something you don't really care about, like, oh, I may have slurred a bit on that speech, versus, oh shit, I'm a fucking racist. Yeah. You know? So fucking practice looking at yourself with these little things. Like, you get in an argument with your friend or your partner or your parent or whatever, that's a good opportunity to look at yourself and start growing from that too. Because right now it's a bit of a shock to everyone. It's really not a shock to minorities, but,
you know. Yeah, I mean, in terms of, like, the whole, like, the COVID stuff was just mm-hmm. people, like, just the way people are reacting. It's like, you got to understand that we're all in the same situation, right? Like, I mean, sure, financially, some people are better than others and all these other socioeconomic things, but we're still all facing the pandemic at the same time. You know, nobody knows how to react right now. And some people are like, oh, that person is being really erratic. It's like, okay, like, sure, you know, maybe they are. But there's a reason, you know, they don't know how to control the fact that they're in this situation. Mm-hmm. So that, again, should be allow you to be a little bit more forgiving in terms of, you know, how you approach those people or what you think of them, in that sense, you know?
Definitely, yeah.
I mean, we're actually at that point. We're at an hour.
Cool.
I mean, thank you for having me. It was awesome. I thank you for the wine and the beer.
Oh, of course.
Definitely loosened me up.
Good. Yeah, no, I appreciate you talking to me, and just the fact that you're moved by my work to, you know, want to get some insights. So I really appreciate that. You know?
No, again, I mean, I appreciate the fact that you do it, and I hope that people check out the work that you do, that you put out, because I think, you know, again, hip hop is one thing, you know, the whole spoken word thing is also like a whole different art form in itself. So I think the fact that, you know, where you're trying to mash it together, I mean, it's kind of already mashed, but like the way you put it together, I enjoy the way you speak.
Oh, good.
So
thank you.
it's cool. And I hope people like check it out. So again, if people want to find you, what's the best way to like for them to Google you on Instagram or something?
Yeah. So, on Instagram, they could find me at Ms. Cosmosis. Mm-hmm. That's MS Cosmosis. You can spell that out, right? And then I have a website, vivmoon.com.
Awesome. Cool. And in the EP, you say is going to be dropping at what,
some point? It's dropping in fall of this year. So either September or October. Yeah. It's going to be called The Book of Cosmosis.
Damn.
Yes.
And it's already a badass name.
Thank you. Yeah. It'll be produced by Symmetry, mm-hmm. who's a dope rapper and producer who was also on the Current Virus soundtrack with me, or the Current Virus playlist.
Oh, okay. The one on SoundCloud, right?
Yeah. Yes. And we are also heading the Greenboro organization.
Damn. Okay, cool. So, I mean, people, you heard that. If you want to check out the both the playlist and your EP coming out in fall, you guys know where to go.
Yes, I'm going to put up the link so you can all get it.
Sounds good. I mean, we'll keep in touch. And then hopefully once that releases, you know, I'll help share it too.
Awesome. Thank you.
Cool. Thank you again. And everybody, you guys take care. Stay safe.
Thanks. Bye. La original. Okay, the fame they wanted in the worst way, but fake is the mistake they make, cause they assume a wave is greater than how they were made, looking side to side in vain, duplicating everything, nails between their teeth, cause they don't know who they be, it's lame, but I don't play these games, I'm sturdy, a seesaw in my own mind, but I'm on both sides, don't worry, keep a balance, easy but you're swervy, I'm a willow tree, your weeds unworthy, I'll pick you, my style blow your feathers till they stuck in poop, a womanhood, you're pitiful, I turn my niece's face away, so they don't do what you do, so keep your tips and comments minimal. Spiritual's my principle, I rebel with my verbal, because physical is minuscule, I'm morphing, mind is pivotal. I make a lane for future individuals, cause this will last longer than tacky visuals.
appropriating culture ill. You act out spill while I'm exhausted with the fake ones overshadowing the real. Talking shit is universal, I spit with no rehearsal. I come in peace, but got techniques that'll surely murk you. Talking shit is universal, I spit with no rehearsal. I come in peace, but got techniques that'll surely murk you. A prickly cactus in my forehead, so you can't dismiss. It's obvious my brain you try to pick, but your fingertips are getting ripped. And suddenly, don't nobody know who you is. A missing person studying the script, trying to fit the matrix. White girls acting brown to fit in. So you think you brought a culture that I know you have never ever been. Identity dilemma, but I can't connect with you instead. Here is a point of view, pinpoint your hood and hop the same in you. What's your taste? You say cocaine and weed music is what you crave. Well, my strain will bore the neurons off your brain. In two languages, I'm spitting game. It scares his hen's teeth, such a shame. When your parents paved the way, fake thugging, you're dismayed. Robbing styles, you're afraid to be real. So you steal from the main pioneer. But biting styles makes you temporary. My vibe is timeless, so you're often merry. Run of the mill, ordinary. I'm the visionary. You scratch the surface barely. I'm the visionary. Yes, you scratch the surface barely. Talking shit is universal, I spit with no rehearsal. I come in peace, but got techniques that'll surely murk you. Talking shit is universal, I spit with no rehearsal. I come in peace, but got techniques that'll surely murk you.